This is a special report from CFRC. Since the middle of last year, PSAC 901, the union that represents the 2,000 teaching assistants, teaching fellows, research assistants, and postdoctoral scholars at Queen's, has been at the bargaining table with the university. Today, I am joined by Astrid Hobel, president of PSAC 901, just days before the union is set to vote on a strike mandate. To learn more or register to vote on Monday, you can head to psac901.org. Thanks for listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and I hope you enjoy the interview. Astrid, how are you doing today? I'm sure you're keeping quite busy.
Hi, Taylor. Thanks. Yeah, it's been a busy few months, and this month in particular, but doing well.
I can imagine. Yeah. If listeners would like, they can head over to PSAC901.org to see the strike mandate press release. But if they couldn't, could you just give an overview of the 2021 bargaining and what has led to this strike mandate vote?
Yes, of course. So we started at the bargaining table with the employer back in June of 2021, and now we're in February of 2022. And we have been asking for various things in order to help the graduate student workers on campus. So a lot of the things that we're asking for are things like mental health supports to be improved for us. We're asking for things like anti-racism training and sexual violence prevention training to be mandatory and to be paid for TAs and teaching fellows and RAs, because currently it's not mandatory and a lot of different departments don't do it. And if you do it, often you won't be paid, unfortunately, for it as well. It's on your own time. Other things that we're asking for are hardship bursary, because we know how difficult things are for a lot of our members. Many of them have not really seen their graduate funding go up since about 2009. So before most people were here, but it's been a really long time since graduate funding packages have really increased very much. Other than that, we're also asking for a number of things in terms of like accommodations to be made easier, better leaves that people, COVID is a perfect example, right? Like, you never know what's coming for you. So it's one of those things that it's like, we need to have better emergency leaves, bereavement leaves, unfortunately. Also to support our trans members, gender affirmation leave and things like that are the main things that we're asking for. I've been in Kingston for over a decade now. When I first got to Kingston, people, like a lot of my friends, are paying kind of somewhere between $400, $500 for a room and rent. I had some friends who were even paying kind of as low as $250, which that would never happen now. So no, it's one of no these chance. Things that's kind of like the fact that our, like, in most people now, it's like if they can find something for kind of like $900, they're like so much. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it is. So it's one of these things that's like rents have gone up, and I'm sure everyone's noticed too at the grocery store, prices of food have also skyrocketed in the last couple of years as well. So we're seeing kind of even more precarity than we previously did, which is really affecting us. We have an affordable housing working group within our union in order to try and address this. And we've definitely been addressing it at the table as well with the employer to try and hopefully make them understand this is why we need these supports now.
In calling the strike mandate vote, what's the strategy there? What does it mean to the graduate student workers, and also what does it mean to undergraduates who might be affected by it?
Of course. So we have called the strike vote because we've just gone back to the table after a month and a half, no, 2 months actually of not being at the table. We released our monetary demands to the employer a month ago and they still hadn't responded. So then we filed for conciliation, and that's finally when we came back to the table. And we were worried that they might not be moving as quickly as they should on getting to our things. So at the same time, we also have started kind of preparing strike information sessions that were going on in departments. And having gone back to the table, we did recognize that there wasn't really much movement and they weren't really going to be supporting a lot of these demands. So then that's when we decided that we did unfortunately have to take the action of having a strike vote. A strike vote does not mean that we automatically go on strike. It just means that if the employer does continue to stall and we get a positive mandate, which we are pretty certain that we will, because we've got huge amounts of support from our graduate student community and in these sessions in which we talk to hundreds of graduate students, 99% have told us that they'll be voting yes. So we're really definitely think that we're going to be able to get a positive strike vote. But it does mean that down the line, we could be looking at a strike on campus, which would mean that there would be no TAs, no TFs. So it could be a cessation of classes if we're still in classes, or marking would not happen. So that would be the effect. But currently with a strike vote, undergrads won't be affected. We have been in contact with the AMS and they have, yeah, they have shown their support for us, and they said, yeah, we definitely support you at the bargaining table. So hopefully the undergrads understand that this is not really what we want to be doing. We want to be there teaching. Like, it's one of those things that just, it's the administration of the school that might push us over the edge and, yeah, make us take the step.
Mm-hmm. Just going back to the attitudes of the people in the union, how have you found it mobilizing during the pandemic, especially while right now many students are still out of town? What campaigns or strategies have you sort of put in to get the support you need for this vote?
So we have an amazing group of mobilizers who have been helping us ensure that we've been reaching every department. And there's also an amazing group of stewards. So in each department, we have kind of a shop steward who's there, and they're the ones who are kind of the primary contact in each department, because they're there, they understand their colleagues in that department, kind of what their colleagues need and how to best reach them. So it's through all of their wonderful work that we've really been relying, especially since we are kind of all so disparate, and they've been the ones who've been kind of putting together Zoom meetings at times that work for everyone. We've also been trying to do social media outreach, really pushing that even more so than we were before, because before we were on campus tabling so that people could come find us there. But now, because it is all virtual, we're really ensuring that our networks are the ones that are kind of doing the work for us. And we have some amazing graduate workers out there who are getting things done.
That's excellent. So today, faculty at Ontario Tech took to the picket line, and this comes as we are seeing more and more labor activity on campuses across the country. From Lethbridge to Manitoba to Concordia, Acadia, University of Alberta, Mount Royal, and Athabasca, they are all putting pressure on their administrations. I was wondering if you could speak to how important solidarity is among peers at a time like this.
So solidarity amongst peers is hugely important, not just now, but always. And of course, now it is even more important, just because everyone is kind of really at the breaking point where we really can't continue with the conditions that everyone's having to work under. The workloads that all of these different universities have been complaining about starting to be untenable. And kind of, as we were saying earlier, the pay has not gone up, and kind of the precarity has gone up hugely as there's rising costs. So having solidarity between different unions is huge. We've been really lucky. We've had a ton of letters of support from different unions around the province. And I think, yeah, we've been sending out some letters for these other universities, because we know that if there's a win for one, it starts to become a win for all. Hopefully we see changes across the whole academic sector so it's one of these things that, like, standing in solidarity, it benefits us as well, which is kind of a selfish way to look at it, but we just need to ensure that we all kind of have good working conditions that, mm-hmm. yeah, that are tenable. So yeah, it's definitely important, and it's amazing to see kind of how many different unions across the country are just starting to really just push back against what we've been seeing for way too long, and this kind of austerity and the precarity that that has happened for too long in academia, especially with graduate students, with adjuncts. It's one of those things that definitely you're here for the love of the subject and not for the compensation, because oh man, it's a tough world in academia there that way.
Yeah, I definitely hear you. Focusing on Ontario specifically, how has Bill 124 impacted the roles of the union?
So Bill 124 is a big impact, of course, everywhere across the public sectors. As we've seen, nurses have been out complaining about it, and it currently limits public sector workers to 1% increases every year, which, as we know, that does not correspond with the rise of inflation. And it also does not limit the kind of so-called executive pay for public sector workers. So it means that people like the principal and the provost here are able to see their salaries increase, even when kind of those at the bottom are not. It's also frustrating for us in the academic sector, because although we do see some public money coming into the universities, there is more than half of the budget is made up from like tuition fees from students and whatnot. So it's, and then a ton of kind of investments that Queen's makes. So it's one of those things that it's just like, it doesn't seem necessarily fair to be limited when it is kind of it's not a completely publicly funded university. So a 1% increase on kind of our current wages will not kind of unfortunately hugely materially help within kind of the what we're seeing in Ontario with rising house prices and food prices.
Yeah. What happens if, say, the vote goes through on Monday?
Once the vote goes through, we currently have kind of another week of bargaining that we have dates for. So we have a conciliator with us now. So hopefully between tomorrow's bargaining and next week, I really hope that with the strike mandate, they see that there is support for these demands. These are not things coming from the bargaining team that we just kind of trying to like nag on Queens in order to do it. These are things that are tangibly needed by the graduate students. So hopefully with the strike vote, it shows that Queens that, and they are willing to kind of quickly come through and start actually putting forth good proposals. And if that we're kind of having good proposals at the table, we'll stay there and work with them. It's just if they continue to stonewall us and stall at that point, that would be kind of when we are deciding that we might have to escalate further than that.
How can members of the union register to vote on Monday?
So if you go to our website, psac901.org, or if you go to our link tree, which is the linktree.com/psac901, you will find all of the information there. There's a link there. There'll be three sessions throughout the day to ensure that people who have different schedules will be able to participate. There's one for 9:15, there's one for 11:15, and there's one at 6:45 in the evening. So if you go there, you have to register an hour in advance in order to ensure that you're verified that you're a current graduate student worker. So this is if you're a TA, an RA, or a TF, you're eligible to vote. Yeah, you'll have to just provide your email and name and whatnot and be able to sign up. Because we are off campus, the strike votes will be happening virtually over Zoom.
That's great. Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Astrid. It was really great.
Thanks. It was lovely to do this.
Once again, I would like to thank Astrid for chatting with me. If you are a graduate student and want to vote on Monday, you can head to psac901.org. My name's Taylor, and I hope you all have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to The Scoop, produced with the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Sciences at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples.